This is The Wild Around Us. I'm Jeremy, your personal naturalist. I'm coming to you from the Squam Lakes Natural Science Center, where we advance understanding of ecology by exploring the natural world. Today we are going to talk about a returning sign of spring. This will relate to our nature noise as well. But let's start with a little talk about a major adaptation that a lot of animals do. Migration. From monarchs to hummingbirds, and I just recently saw a red-shouldered hawk that returned. Migration is an important way to survive winter. Here in the Northeast, about two-thirds of our birds fly south for winter. There are different reasons to migrate. Many of you are probably thinking, the cold, right? That's why I would migrate. And that is a reason, especially for things like insects that can't produce their own body heat. For birds, on the other hand, they can easily withstand the cold. Feathers are one of the warmest things that we have on this planet. That's why I have some feathers in my winter coat. More so, birds migrate because of the lack of food, or the lack of ability to find food in the winter. For example, the lack of availability of insects or plants because they go dormant, that makes it harder to come by those types of food. Swallows eat insects, but without any of those flying insects around here in the winter, swallows need to migrate. Though woodpeckers stick around because they find slow-moving or dormant insects inside dead trees, which become easy targets for them. On the other hand, broad-winged hawks migrate because some of their food hide underneath the snow, like mice and voles. And because they use their eyes to find their food, they wouldn't be able to survive not being able to see their food running on top of grasses and things like they do in the summer. Speaking of broad-winged hawks, I often get asked the question, why do they even come back? It's warm, there's no snow down along the equator where broad-winged hawks like to spend winter. Well, there's probably many reasons to come back, but two that I'd like to cover right now. Number one, a lot of things migrate down along the equator. So the increased competition makes it a little bit more difficult if you had to spend a full year down in that area with all of the other migratory birds. Also, coming back north at peak sunlight, you get almost 16 hours of daylight. Raising young takes a bit of extra work. So those overtime hours definitely help the diurnal raptors. Migration is an effective way to deal with the cold and to find food away from the snow. Last week, we heard this nature noise. And we did have a couple of guesses this week. Barb says, is it a small songbird, maybe a finch? And I do hear that in there, definitely. That's a good guess. That is not the correct answer. Maggie said that she thought it might be some sort of rodent, maybe the flying squirrel that was mentioned in the last episode. But it is neither a bird nor a rodent. But it is a big brown bat. Big brown bats are going to be waking up soon from hibernation. As soon as insects start flying around, we should see some of the bats joining them. They make sounds that are able to be heard by people, like what you heard here, and they make sounds that are not able to be heard by people, like what they use to find their food, using that echolocation. Let's listen one more time to this squeaky bat. This next nature noise, we're going to do a little bit different. This will be the last episode of the season. We're going to keep making episodes and releasing a summer season near the solstice. So keep subscribed and stay tuned, as we may have bonus episodes released throughout. Here is this week's nature noise, which will be followed by some information, some clues about the noise. And then I will tell you the answer. So get ready to play along. You may have to strain your ears to listen for this high-pitched sound off in the distance over the wind. Listen close. All right. Can you think of it? I'm going to tell you that this bird migrates to the southern part of the United States in the winter and is a true sign of spring when you hear this sound. They are related to shorebirds, but normally found in fields or woods where they use their probing beak to eat worms. Their eyes are so far back on their head that they can put their probing beak into the ground and still be able to see around them for predators. This is the sound of the American woodcock. It shoots up into the sky after painting several times. It twirls, going several hundred feet into the air, and then twiddles on the way down, making sound with both its syrinx and its feathers. And they do all of that just to land within feet from where they took off. This is the courting flight, again, of the American woodcock. Let's listen one more time, and be sure to pay attention to the painting, then the takeoff and the twirls, and then the twiddles during the final part on its way back down. And then you'll hear it paint one more time when it's back on the ground. Keep your ears and eyes open for all the wonderful sounds and sights this spring. And thank you for your support on this first season of The Wild Around Us. Don't forget the Science Center will be open for trail visitors again May 1st. We will be coming out with our season 2 this summer and have several bonus episodes between now and then. If you hear anything in the wild that you want to share, jeremy.phillips@nhnature.org. Or if you want to suggest topics for our summer season, feel free to keep in touch. We'll see you soon, and don't forget to do the important thing. Get out and enjoy the wild around you.